Mostly Rational, a podcast in which we answer your questions, make jokes only we think are funny, and offer advice as rationally as we possibly can. We also have a strong tendency to discuss MBTI, so for all you guardians out there that don't like to be put in a box, too bad. I'm Tawny Sanchez.
I'm Aisha Sanchez.
And today, we don't have any special guests. Or do we? Before we get started, we just wanted to make a quick announcement because we have some very exciting news. We have a website. It is mostlyrationalpodcast.com. You can listen to our podcast, submit questions, find links to our social media, and our Patreon. So, should we get into it?
Tawny, we don't actually have any special guests, do we?
Do we? Well, I guess we'll find out.
We'll see. All right, let's get into it.
So, we have quite a few very random questions. First and foremost, and this is from Anony Mouse. Why are shoes?
Tawny, why are shoes?
You know, I don't know.
You know why I've noticed that when I don't wear shoes a lot, I definitely get a thicker sole?
Yeah. We build calluses on our feet very easily, right?
But then when I slough them off in the shower, because I'm like, ew, my feet. Then I wear shoes a lot, I get these baby feet. But then the next time I need to walk barefoot somewhere, I'm like, ouch, pain, because I have weakened the things upon which I bear my entire weight and which carry me to and fro.
Although that's not entirely the fault of the shoes, that is the fault of you scraping
no,
off your
it's society's
precious,
fault
precious calluses
for telling me
and
I need to have baby
also
feet.
My sandals that I wear actually have built calluses on my feet, which I know is disgusting to say to the public, but I have specific calluses because of these shoes, because they
why is that disgusting to say to the public that you have used your feet?
Well, it's because of these particular shoes, though. So, I don't know why our shoes. I think the reason, when I was a kid, I did not wear shoes, like, 90% of the time, only when I was going out in public. And I think it's because we live in a day and age where there's so many diseases just lying around on the ground.
Like, hey, where's your disease? Weren't you carrying a disease earlier? Ah, oh, shoot! Look at these pockets I've just pulled inside out. Not a disease to be found. Who knows where I dropped that?
Yeah, exactly like that. So anyway, but you know, there's just risk of like stepping on needles, stepping on glass.
Where do you live? You're more likely to step on a mountain lion.
Not true. You know how many tires? I'm tired. How many nails I've gotten in my tires just from driving around our property?
Yes, me too.
Yeah, and I've also stepped on several of those nails, and the only reason my feet were saved is because the nail went through my shoe instead of my foot.
But
so
why
that,
did you just have...
That, ladies and gentlemen, is why our shoes...
But what if you just had, like, a 2-inch callus? Then it wouldn't have bothered you. It would have done what it did to my tire. Do you remember that time a nail went into my tire and it didn't, like, puncture it? It, like, pierced it. Like one of those earrings that just go in one part of your cartilage and then come back out and then go back in again.
No, I don't recall.
It did that, and I don't know how.
I don't know. One time I had a very long nail that was jammed into my tire, and I'm actually pretty sure someone at a gas station jammed it into my car, into my tire. Because my car was fine, and then I went to get gas, I walked inside, I came back out, and then, like, just quickly got in my car, started to drive away, and my tire was just like, dung-dung-dung, and it, like, just was completely flat.
I feel like almost certainly you must be skipping the part where you just, like, destroyed this person's life.
You would think.
Like, they asked you for $1 for gasoline, and you said... Ha! Peasant!
Excuse me, I am a very generous person. I give when I can. Anyway, To strangers, not
you. You should have thought of that before you became peasants. That's Tawny. Classic Tawny.
Lies. Anyway, but it wasn't like your tire being pierced like that actually makes more sense because it would be coming in at a more flat angle towards the tire, right? Like driving over it. Mine was straight in, like someone had to have jammed. It was a very long nail. And it like had to have just been jammed in there.
I think it's more normal for a nail which is entirely designed to puncture something straight through.
But it would have had to been like standing at a certain angle.
Okay, whatever. There's no way for us to prove this unless we go outside and conduct some experiments. So let us carry on.
Anyway, the lack of nails in my feet is why shoes. Yeah.
I disagree. I believe society is why shoes, but let us go.
All right. Asia, how do you feel about people wearing masks?
I very strongly feel that we should do that more.
Wear masks?
Like, all right, have you seen The Hunchback of Notre Dame? So many people just wear masks. Not
personally.
Casually. Shut up. You've seen the movie. So many people just casually wearing masks in that movie. Like, was that a thing? Because let's bring that back.
That seems sweaty.
Tawny, with technology, we can definitely make some wicking,
breathable masks. I only want to wear masks if I was a superhero, but unfortunately I'm not.
But, Tawny, okay.
Or, you know, like,
listen,
vigilante.
Listen,
I don't think it would be an actual superhero.
Imagine getting to go to the mall or go to the grocery store and buy some, like, lady things. And no one knows who you are.
Asia, I don't care, because, like, we're ladies, and people should expect us to buy lady things. That shouldn't be an embarrassing thing.
No, I agree, and listen, I'm not embarrassing. I will proudly carry...
You're very embarrassing.
I'm not embarrassed, but imagine not even having to worry about it because nobody, unless you decide, is allowed to know who you are. Just carrying that internet anonymity with you wherever you go. Actually, I take that back. All of the things I just said, I take back. Anonymity is terrible for the internet and would be terrible for real life.
So the first thing I thought of when I read this question was how, you know, who wears masks, and it's usually, like, thieves, criminals. So it would be a lot easier for criminals to, like, seem normal, and, like, if everyone's wearing masks, then no one's wearing masks.
Okay, but what if you're a superhero, and now everyone thinks you're a thief, because only thieves wear masks?
Yeah, exactly.
What?
That's my point, is that, like,
what's the name of your superhero? I'm the raccoon. Oh, that's very unfortunate.
Well, no, but that is my point, that, like, people who were not thieves or not criminals would be seen as thieves or criminals, especially at first. At first, when this becomes a thing and people have trouble adjusting to the fact that everyone's wearing masks, they'd be like, oh, no. But then, also, later on, all of the thieves and criminals would never be caught because everyone's wearing masks, you know?
Okay, well, what if the masks are only, like, those masquerade kind of masks? Because then I think...
Masquerade!
People faces up parade! Okay. Listen. I think because if they were only those kind of masks, then you'd really be gaining no more anonymity. How many times am I going to try to say this word? Than you generally have in real life. Because you go out in public and most people don't know who you are from Adam. Mm-hmm. So all you've got now is an extra fashion accessory that you can personalize and feel awesome.
I don't need another thing to accessorize. It's so much work.
Yeah, but you don't have to wear eyeliner anymore.
I don't have to wear eyeliner now.
But you are wearing eyeliner.
So?
So you no longer have to feel like you need to perfect this cat skill. Cat liner.
I prefer this. I'm not wearing my eyeliner as a mask. I'm wearing it as an enhancement.
Aren't you?
it's an enhancement.
That's what I'm saying the mask could be.
Yeah, that's not an enhancement. That's covering your actual face.
I think masks can be very flattering.
If I wore makeup that was completely altering what my face really looked like, then I might agree with you. However, I'm not. I'm wearing makeup to enhance my natural features, which is what I believe makeup should be for.
In some countries where it's more common to wear masks to cover up, like, if you're sick, medical masks, some women use that as an excuse when they're not sick just to not put on any makeup.
Yeah.
And then nobody, it's like, I don't know, it seems kind of freeing. And, I mean, I don't get me wrong. I regularly go out with no makeup. Wait,
would but... it be kind of like wearing a hat so you don't have to wash your hair?
Exactly.
That I can understand. I just wouldn't want it to be, like, a all-the-time thing.
No, no. I just wish it was more common. And then we can bring back capes, and then we live in...
I care more about capes. I just wish capes were...
Capes with hoods! Yeah! Weird.
I almost bought one. Did I tell
know.
You?
I was there.
You were there.
Okay. It was a pretty rad cape. Oh, the train's here. Time for a break.
Asia, would you like to ask the next question?
All right, Tawny. What do you think... of clones.
I love them.
I didn't even... They don't even know what I said. What do you think of clones? They probably thought I said clowns. Clones.
Or clothes.
Clones.
Or clothes.
Clones. Snow clones.
Okay. Okay. I have many thoughts on clones. Do you have many thoughts on clones?
I have many, controversial within myself feelings about clones.
Okay, so the first thing that pops into my head when I think of clones is how when I was taking, I think it was my advanced bio class in high school, where, it was a video that we watched, and it was talking about genes. There's a train. The train's gone.
Hooray. As was our train of thought.
Okay, so when I think of clones, the first thing that comes to mind is in my advanced bio class in high school, we watched this video, and it was about genetics, and it was like this weird skit where these parents... They had their natural child, right? And it was a combination of their genetics. Mm-hmm. And she's, like, trying to play the piano, but she's not very good at it. And she's just kind of awkward looking, even though she has these two really attractive parents. And then it talks about how, like, the parents were unsatisfied with their child, and so they just cloned themselves. And so they had a boy and a girl.
All right.
That they raised, and they were just perfect clones of themselves. And so that makes me, like, think negatively of cloning.
Hold
but the
on.
Whole idea of cloning to me is really fascinating and cool.
Wait.
What?
So are you telling me that the boy was just a genetic clone of its father?
Yes.
And the girl was just a genetic clone of its mother?
Yes.
Things could get real weird real fast.
That is true. However, they wouldn't have to really worry about any, like, you know, genetic defects due to incest because they're not really related.
Tommy, are you trying to tell me that these people...
They could just keep cloning themselves children.
Are you trying to tell me that these people...
They could just keep duplicating
are
themselves.
Are you trying to tell me that these people do not have... a genetic problem in which they are so unfeeling and narcissistic that they were dissatisfied with their human-born child.
I know.
Discarded said child and decided they would rather have miniature versions of exactly themselves.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. It's very messed up. There's a movie, though, that this reminds me of also.
What's Gattaca?
Gattaca, yes. I was gonna look it up on IMDb.
You know, no need. I'm here.
That Jude Law movie. I think that we also watched part of that in one of my classes, but then I ended up watching more of it later. That was interesting to me, because it wasn't really cloning.
I like how you call it a Jude Law movie, when it's clearly an Ethan Hawke movie. Jude Law's a side character.
I don't care.
I know, it's such a Jude Law movie.
Anything with Jude Law in it is a Jude Law movie, just like AI. Anyway. Anyway, so that movie was interesting, although it's not about cloning. The second thing that comes to my mind when I think about cloning is The Sixth Day.
Yeah.
Do you remember that Arnold Schwarzenegger
movie? That was
movie?
Also the second thing that came to my mind. I guess I don't get to say the first thing that comes to my mind.
What?
Multiplicity! You know, with Keaton. You don't remember that movie?
No.
Oh, it's about this guy, and he gets access to a cloning machine, and he makes a clone of himself, like,
oh, God.
Stuff.
I never saw it, but I remember, like, seeing it in Blockbuster and looking at the cover of it, and I was like, this looks stupid.
Oh, I have seen it multiple times. And basically, every time he makes another clone, it gets more stupid. And then the clones keep making clones of themselves because no one wants to. It's like a Calvin and Hobbes situation where Calvin doesn't want to do the chores either, so it keeps making more Calvin clones. But in this movie, they keep getting, like, worse and worse.
Third thought. Wheezy Waiter.
Oh, yeah, Wheezy Waiter.
That's it. That's all there
Wheezy
is.
Wheezy Waiter has a very interesting relationship with his clones. If they make good characters, they get to live. If not, they die. So I guess the
ultimate question... If I had a cloning machine...
That all these movies bring to mind is, are clones real people? And The answer has always seemed extremely obvious to me. Yes. Unless twins are not real people and triplets are not real people. They're genetically identical. Mm-hmm. They're people. The end. I think a lot of it comes from the idea that human beings have a soul. And so if you make a clone, is it like the same soul? Does it have a soul? But obviously this is a flawed...
Well, what's interesting to me, and what's stupid about a lot of these movies is that, or unrealistic, not stupid, or something we can't do yet, because we can make clones, but we have to grow them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we can't just be like, oh, cloning machine, boop, you have someone who is the exact same age as you and has, like, all the memories and everything,
mm-hmm.
but, like, you're just growing another version of you that has, like, the same genes, but that doesn't mean they're gonna have the same memories,
no.
or same, you know, like, environment that they grow up in. They'll just look like you, basically.
They will be similar.
Like, yeah.
Let's not...
I mean, genetics do have a role in our, like, personality and
we have
everything.
Not enough, but quite a few examples of you know, children who were genetically identical, who were raised in different homes. And, yeah, they're different, because they're different people, but they did have certain similarities that could not easily be attributed to their environment growing up. And so, it's clear they started off with a similar base, but, you know, you can go off. It's kind of like when we talk about MBTI. You start at a similar base as the people who have your type, but that doesn't mean you're the same person by a long shot, because also your environment, also your traits that you inherit from your parents, also just your choices that you make in life
mm-hmm.
have an impact.
Yep. But what are your, like, overall thoughts on clones?
Like, should we clone?
Yeah.
I don't see a good reason to clone. I'm sure, and maybe, like, if people want to clone livestock or, like livestock that has ideal genetic qualities or something.
What?
Oh, you might want to pause this. Unless we want to record Kiri's phone call. Hello?
Hey, you haven't changed any of the Netflix information, right? Did you just do it?
Kiri, Tawny, and I are recording our podcast right now.
You're on speakerphone.
You're on speakerphone.
This only asked because for the first time ever, Cheyenne was like, hey, let me try putting Netflix on the computer because we just got a new monitor in our bedroom. And it was working. And I was like, that's weird. I was watching it the other day on my tablet. It was fine.
I just really think that it's funny that this is your second guest appearance on our podcast to ask about Netflix again. Did you call me the other day, by the way?
Yeah, I did, because I honestly thought I was dying, and then I was like, shoot, Asia's had her appendix out. She could tell me if I'm dying.
Oops.
Thanks. Consolation, I feel a lot better now.
I'm consoled. I did not change the Netflix information. What are you putting in?
Well, you're going to record this on the podcast?
I'll delete it. I edit everything. Okay.
I was putting in...
Oh, yeah, it's now. Yeah,
But when did that happen?
A long time ago, because I thought it was... So I changed it to... And then I remembered later that it was...
Now I'm forever going to be like, what is going on? Okay, I'll try to remember that.
All right, do you want to say anything? Do you want to try and answer our question that we're answering right now?
Yes, I do.
What do you think of clones?
In general, because I just ate a banana, and technically bananas are clones. I thought that was pretty cool.
I'm so happy you answered the question. I forgot about that.
Yeah,
bananas are clones.
I was like, how is it possible that this banana is so big when I've had little bananas? Bananas are technically clones. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, they're just... So you mean to say that, like, you're surprised when a banana is bigger than other bananas because it's genetically identical to all the other bananas?
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess that depending on where the banana berry it comes from, it would make a difference though, huh?
Yeah, environment. Tawny and I were just discussing nature versus nurture.
Yeah, so there is actually, I don't know, this is a little random, but this ties into twins. And there was a study done back in the 70s where they took a bunch of twins away from each other at birth and raised them separately just to see how they would turn out differently.
Yeah, that's messed up. But Tawny and I were just also discussing similar studies. Do you think that people who lose a child should be able to genetically clone that child and have it again?
What are their reasons for losing the child? Because what if it was a genetic reason? I don't think they should then.
Okay, but maybe it got in a car accident or something.
Well, I don't see why not.
The thing is, like, okay, those parents own those genes, you know? But it's not like the kid is going to be exactly the same. Are we talking about this because of a certain movie that just came out?
What movie?
No, we're not. Asia hasn't seen that movie.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Oh, no. Okay. Jurassic World spoilers? I mean, I guess there's just really the main issue would be the parents expecting this child to be exactly the same as the original child. When clearly it wouldn't be.
I mean, if it was a baby, sure.
Yeah. Then there wouldn't be expectations.
The environment makes such a difference. It's just going to be a different person who's not going to have the same memories, so they're not going to have the same... everything, you know. Honestly, and I don't know if you guys have already talked about this, but MBTI, I wonder, I know that Tawny has always told me that a personality is set, like your everything is set a certain way from the moment you're born, but I kind of don't believe that. I kind of believe that there is a developing period that can highly influence how your personality comes out, even though, like, how you would test, anyway.
Yeah, we were actually just discussing that, about how the genetic starting point could be compared to your MBTI starting point, because it seems to me, at least, that, I mean, literally just based on our home videos, that our personalities were pretty set from day one. But obviously, our overall personalities and the choices we make could have been affected by the environments in which we were raised and the choices we made.
Because I like to think, you know, even as an ESFJ, I don't fit the mold of an ESFJ completely. And a lot of that has to do with being raised alongside you guys, being raised with the parents we had, you know, and just the environment that I grew up in. There are some ESFJs that are essentially Martha Stewart, you know, like perfect kind of people. And I'm like, I know I'm not that way. And I get that I want it, and that's part of the personality, but I'm just not that way.
Right. I want to be Albert Einstein, but I'm not quite there.
Quite? Not quite.
I want to be Nikola Tesla, but, you know.
Rude. Okay. All right, Kiri, thank you. That was actually some very interesting input. I'm looking forward to the next time you can for real be on the podcast.
Yeah. Well, Tony said that we might do an unofficial podcast, which would be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't be there for that, Asia.
What?
New announcement, guys. Kiri and I might do a bonus episode.
What?
This week.
I have never not been on an episode. What is this nonsense?
Surprise! I've not been on an episode, so it's fair.
Yeah.
It's not fair. I edit these things.
Yeah.
We could edit this one.
No.
Yeah, Tawny doesn't put that work into it.
That's
never.
Well, Asia...
Yes.
This is totally a nice way, but we are going hiking in Muir Woods on Sunday, and I know a couple other people are driving down for it. If you wanted to come hiking with us, you could be at least part in the podcast.
What? Tawny is making a face that implies that she knowingly withheld this information earlier today when I said, hey, Tawny, we should go on a hike next weekend.
I never heard you say
and
that.
And she said nothing.
I didn't hear you say that.
Oh, sure.
I didn't.
I said that.
I never
heard earlier you. Today.
Did not hear you.
I said we should go on a hike next weekend.
Did not hear you 100%.
Wouldn't she have told you I'm going on a road trip next weekend?
I told her.
Anyway, fine, whatever. I would like to go on this hike, but okay. If I'm invited.
You are invited.
Okay. All right. We're going to get back to our podcast. You enjoy your Netflix.
Oh, I will. Thank you.
You're welcome. Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, so should we move on to our next question?
We shall.
If you cloud invent a world...
What? Tawny, you're a terrible typer.
I'm not, actually. I just copied and pasted. That's how it was sent to us.
Anonymous, you're a terrible typist.
Anony Mouse. Sorry, anyway, I just had to point that out. If you could invent a world...
Cloud world.
Would there be a currency? And if so, how would the currency system be work?
Tawny, stop reading it as it was written.
How would the currency system work?
You go first.
I don't want to. I don't like this question.
If I could invent a world, no, there would not be currency. Currency is the worst. We would just all have our spot in the world. And if we wanted to trade things, we could trade things. The end.
Don't you think that there would be arguments over what things are worth a trade?
No. I mean, sure, there will be arguments, but it doesn't matter. You don't have to trade anything you don't want to trade.
Yeah, I guess. I was thinking about that. I wouldn't want currency, although I feel like it would just kind of happen on its own. Like, how much control do I have over this world? Do I only get to start it, or do I get to control it from, like, the start... You know,
yeah, sure, it would probably happen on its own. But ideally, people would be mostly independent and not rely on purchasing things from other people because they have the freedom from worrying about making a bunch of money. Now, that begs the question, what about doctors? What about medical care? My world has no disease. Question answered.
Yeah, I mean, if we're inventing this world, why would we not make it, like, perfect where everyone just, like, is totally fine all the time? So, yeah, no currency. The end.
Asia. Or, you know, you could just have it so people who have jobs that are considered, like, noble jobs, like medical care, something that is difficult and hard to learn and also, you know, takes a lot of an emotional toll, those people could be just kind of cared for, sort of like the Levites in Israel. You know, everyone else had their plot of land that they were assigned, but the Levites, the priestly class, they survived on basically mostly donations because they were serving the rest of the people. So the rest of the people donated a little bit to them.
Yeah, that would make sense to me.
Yeah, I thought it seemed like a pretty good system because they didn't have the time to go farm and make their own stuff because they had their own duties to do.
People are serving, like, the general people in one way.
Yeah, public servants.
Yeah, it would make sense that the public would do what they can to support.
So we just invented servants. Taxes. But, like, for doctors.
Yeah.
So we are socialists. It's like, it's, you know, it gets complicated. Obviously, if it wasn't a complicated concept, everyone would have this down pat and there'd be one form of government.
Yeah. At first when I was thinking about this, I was like, well, I mean, currency would make sense because then you could put, like, a definite price on things. And it's like, you don't have to decide. I feel like being able to trade something, you're like, it's a little subjective of what is worth what, but if you are able to put a currency price on something, then it, like, makes it a standard. However,
currency is also subjective.
Because, yeah, and there's certain companies that will monopolize a certain, you know, object or, like, field or whatever, and then they get to charge more for something that's really not, like, worth that much.
And you can change the value of the currency. But it's because they control it.
Yeah, exactly.
Currency, yeah.
So, I would invent a world without it.
Like, ideally, that would be the goal.
Yeah.
We don't know what limitations we're working in, but a world that doesn't rely on a made-up thing would be great.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Asia.
If you could live anywhere in the world currently, where would you live? I am currently trying to live basically anywhere that needs me to teach their kids English. I have a few countries in mind that I would like to try living in, and I just want to live a relatively simple life, utilizing a skill I know I have, and I know that I'm good at, like, learning languages and teaching people things that I know. And I know English very well, even though it doesn't always come across that much when I'm speaking off the cuff. But English is actually my best subject. And I enjoy learning other languages because I like, you know, learning the root words and everything and finding the connections between different languages. So that's something, that's a skill I could share. And I also really value learning about other people, other cultures, and I just feel like I've learned about as much as I could from living in this area. I just kind of want to explore a little more. So, possible places I've been thinking about: South Korea, Japan, France. Not limited to any of those places, though. I've considered Indonesia, maybe other places in Europe. I just feel like I need more experiences.
Yeah, same. I don't have the same goal, though, of teaching English. I mean, I could do that, but that's not what I want to do. If I could live anywhere in the world, it's hard to say, because there's places that I've kind of, I guess, idealized in my mind, like, they just sound really nice, but I haven't actually gone there. So, I don't really know how much I would like it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But my number one place that I want to visit is New Zealand. And what I really would love is to have a place kind of out in the country, but not, like, too far from a city.
But that's where we live right now.
No. But listen, alone,
and
where things are, like, green a lot of the time, and where they have beautiful New Zealand accents, and just I would love to live in basically like a hobbit hole on my own. Is like my dream, and I could just be isolated as much as I would like to be. I meant to bring up
hobbit feet earlier when we were talking about why shoes. I wanted to say that the idea of hobbit feet used to gross me out, but as I get older, it increasingly seems more practical.
Yeah.
Nice, warm, calloused feet. Sorry, continue.
Anyway, but like just the idea of living in the countryside like that with just a cozy little home where I could sit there and write stories and do all of my hobbies, play music.
Your hobbies.
My hobbies. And just have, like, peace around me, you know, not be disturbed.
Yeah, that does sound pretty sweet. I think I'm just thinking about things I could do practically at the moment to make money and explore at the same time.
Well, I'm assuming that I would keep my job or work in a similar field at the same time.
Oh, right. Tawny telecommutes. So yeah. She's in the 1%, basically.
No, not at all. But we do have a guy who works at the company who lives in New Zealand. So it is possible. I would love to do it, but I don't know how much I love New Zealand because I haven't actually been there. I just like the idea of it so far, but hopefully either next year, I'm hoping to go to Japan and possibly New Zealand next mm-hmm. year. So I will know then.
Well, basically I decided about a month ago that I would really like to visit South Korea. And when I visit places, I don't like to just visit for a couple weeks. I like to stay there for a long time. For example, the 2-year visit I made to Maui. And so I would need to have a way to make, you know, a little bit of a living while I'm there.
I really hope you move to South Korea so I can come stay with you in South Korea. But I would only want to be there for like a month, yeah. I think.
I have no idea. Maybe I'll hate it there. I really can't make judgments about places before I try them out for a long time. I never even wanted to live anywhere tropical. I never even wanted to visit anywhere tropical. And then I lived in Hawaii for 2 years.
Yeah, pretty much the only places I've visited, like, are tropical other than, you know, other states. I mean, Hawaii is one of our states, but I just mean, like, going across an ocean.
Right. A contiguous state.
Yeah. Because basically just Thailand geography. And Hawaii. I almost went to visit Romy in Belize, but then she moved back, like, not long before I was planning on going, which would have been my third place. That would have been, like, a very humid
environment. I still have not traveled outside of this country, except for the time I was 1 and we went to Mexico, and I do not remember that. And my dad took me, like, while my mom was in the hospital, took me, 1-year-old Asia, to the border to watch the people trying to get across the border. And then one of
Our
Mexican father. And
whose grandparents hopped the border, right?
They crossed the Rio Grande.
Okay.
He then got chewed out by a border patrol officer in Mexico for bringing a baby to the border where people, he said, frequently get shot and killed. And said, "What are you thinking?" And my dad was like, "Oh, whoops, I didn't know.
Don't
tell mom, Asia, who's 1, who can't speak."
Okay, let's move on to our next question. And this is a 4-part question, right?
What? I can't remember that many parts.
Okay, so we'll take it one part at a time. The first part, what advice would you give an alien?
I got this.
That was terrifying. Okay, my advice, racist. I would give an alien.
You're racist.
You're racist. What advice I would give to an alien is, no, 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 no. Go back, you don't want to be here. That's my advice.
My advice would be like, hey, alien, you know what you should do? You
already gave your advice.
I'm translating it.
My advice to the alien in English would be, hey, alien,
You know what you should do? You should tell us what to help. Help us. This is not a good place.
I wouldn't give any advice. I'd just be like, can I come with you? Can I leave?
All right.
Do you have oxygen?
All right. Okay. Who else are we advising?
A horse.
I got this.
If you Winnie, if you Winnie into this microphone, I'm going to hit you so hard.
I'm not going to Winnie.
Don't you nay.
Dang it.
I hope you all heard that.
I'm not going to nay.
Okay.
Clomp, clomp.
Okay, what advice I would give a horse?
Keep going.
I have no idea. I don't think horses really need our advice.
Oh, no. They've got it all together.
They're good.
Have you seen them? They're majestic.
They're majestic?
They clippity-clop. They are shiny.
Not always.
They have perfect noses for nuzzling.
You know what
they
I saw the
glorious
other...
locks.
You know what I saw the other day?
Flanks.
Baxter.
James Baxter, enough said.
Okay. What I saw the other day, though, that was really sad was I didn't know this would happen. Like, I knew that you had to take horses to get their hooves clipped, right? However.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, I knew that.
And I saw this video of this, I think it was like a mini horse or like a pony or something. Anyway, it hadn't had its hooves clipped in like years. Mm-hmm. And it was like these huge deformed long hooves.
What?
Like, they're like big fingernails.
Wait, how come wild horses don't look like that?
That's what I was wondering when I saw this video. But
did they just run on rocks more?
Maybe. Like, I mean, like wild animals, everyone, people who like, you know, really take care of their pets or like they clip their nails, right?
Mm-hmm.
But wild animals don't really need that done. Like but their nails don't grow super long or crazy. But it's because they like kind of
we just mess these animals up.
Yeah, I mean they take care of themselves. Like I don't clip my cat's nails, but they're fine because they wander around outside. They claw at trees. Mm-hmm. They wear them down themselves. And I think it might be the same with horses. Like you said, maybe it's the rocks or something. It kind of keeps them short. But this horse, maybe it was like not moving around enough and wasn't able to get its hooves worn down. But, like, it was really, like, sad. Like, it couldn't walk on its feet at all. Like, it was all bent at the knees because it was, like, trying to balance on these wonky hooves.
See, I have a friend, and part of her job is just to go to people's houses and clip their cat's nails for them. Which is something I have literally never done. For any of my cats.
Rabbit nails. Like, my rabbits. Because they, you know, they're trapped in a cage most of the time. Like, or they would, at most, be wandering around our house.
Yeah, we clipped our bird's nails.
Yeah.
Because he only walked on carpet, so.
Yeah. But that's the thing. It's like, when they have an environment that's soft, like, they need it. But wild animals, like, just naturally know to kind of...
I just didn't realize that would happen to horses. I'm not going to clip my toenails anymore. And I'm just going to see how long it takes for you guys to...
That's disgusting. Don't do that.
I'm just kidding.
My
shoes wouldn't fit.
That's gross.
Bloopers.
Okay. Third part of this question. What advice would you give an architect?
I got this.
Why won't Robin marry me and have children? Sketch, sketch, sketch. Here I dreamt I was an architect. This is not advice, Asia.
This is just clips from How I Met Your Mother.
Yes, I'm perfectly aware.
It's their language. Tawny. Cad.
Whining.
Cad.
If only you guys could see Asia leaning into the microphone and staring at it for a second.
Like, fist clenched.
Like, this is an actual architect that she's trying to reason with by saying, CAD.
Blueprints. Inches to centimeters conversion.
Stop, please. What advice
Plans.
Would I give an architect?
I don't
don't know. How could I possibly give an architect advice when I am not an architect myself?
Yeah, what a weird question, Anani Mouse. Are you an architect? Are you asking for advice?
I think if I was an architect, I would want, like, my goal would to be to, like, make things that are extremely different or original, you know, because we always see buildings that are similar and or will draw inspiration from, like, other pieces of architecture, right? Mm-hmm. Which is cool, you know, sometimes. But I think that if I was an architect, I would try to be as original as possible. And so that is my advice to all the architects listening, which is zero.
Be original. Being original is easy, but knowing how to utilize the math and everything that makes sure your building doesn't fall down or burn down.
Well, obviously.
Makes it difficult to be totally
original, but, you know, still pay attention to physics.
But also be a genius. There you go.
Yeah.
That's our advice. Be a genius.
Okay, Asia, what advice would you give a 75-year-old hag?
Okay. Hold on, I got this.
A 75-year-old hag.
What do you like, a butterscotch? It's already unwrapped.
This is not imitate them.
Tawny, I'm not imitating you, racist.
Racist?
I'm speaking the language. This means entirely different words.
You giving
words.
Them advice would offer them, offering them butterscotch?
No. I just said to your own self be true in 75-year-old hag. What about this do you not understand? The word hag seems a little sexist to me. Can we apply this to 75-year-old gross old men and women? Thanks.
She's not going to say anything after that. She's just...
What's your advice for men and women
who are gross old? What advice would I give Asia?
What? Mm-hmm. What? How?
I'm beating you up.
All right, my advice is...
Don't give Snow heck? White that apple.
I was in the middle of my
it's
advice.
It's just, it's not worth your time, you
Go
know?
Go to the doctor, get that thing on the end of your nose frozen off. Okay? A little Botox.
Do you ever see someone with just, like an older person that just has the most giant blackheads? But, like, or just, like, one that never goes away. There's someone I know who has, like, it looks like a mole.
Tawny.
It's that big.
Are they gonna figure out who you're talking about?
No. But, like, it looks like a mole. It's that big. But it's a blackhead. And I just really want to walk up to this person and jab them with an extractor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Normal.
Because, but, like... And I can't say anything. So if you were a 75-year-old hag with a peculiar black mark on any part of your body, it is probably a blackhead that needs to be extracted. Otherwise, it's just going to keep getting bigger. And then once you finally do get it taken care of, you're going to have a crater in your skin. And so that's my advice, 75-year-old hags. Please. Go to a dermatologist.
Tawny, I feel like our advice to the 75-year-old hag has
really
been
mean, very
shallow.
Yeah, I know, but it's just a thing that really
bothers
me.
How can we make the 75-year-old hag a happier person? Why are people calling you a hag? Hag?
What is... I don't even really
know
what
that word means.
How do you dress?
When I think of a hag, I, like you, also thought of the lady on the Snow White.
It's the definition, a witch, especially one in the form of an ugly old woman, often used as a term of disparagement for a woman.
It so is no, sexist.
It is, which is why we can't address the men in this question or advice. It's also short for hagfish.
What?
Yeah.
What's a hagfish?
Anyway, so what is 75-year-old hagfish?
How long do hagfish live?
I don't know. Apparently 75 years.
You're on Google!
if there's actually an answer readily available to this question.
No one. Someone's Googled it before. 40 years.
40 years? Tawny, I'm only 11 years away from being a hag.
Hagfish.
A hagfish. That's somehow not comforting. Of a, this is not a comforting.
But that's only if you, live in the ocean. If you live in an aquarium, you're already dead because they only live about 17 years.
Is that what it said?
Yes.
I'm already dead.
Asia's a ghost hagfish.
That is rad as can be. That is my new metal album, Ghost Hagfish. I will not even answer to another moniker from now on.
Okay, so this question really is, what advice would you give a 75-year-old witch?
That's not the question. What advice would you give to a 75-year-old hagfish? Witchfish.
A hagfish.
Mm-hmm. I got this.
Bloop, bloop, bloop.
Ouch.
If you're a 75-year-old hagfish, you don't need my advice because you're doing it right and you are, like, almost twice the age as all the other hagfish. Okay.
Yeah, you get it, girl.
Yeah. All right. Asia, what do you think is the weirdest part of a house?
Oh, definitely the toilet.
That's the weirdest part? I think that's the most logical part of a house.
I didn't say it wasn't. But it is a hole that is designated for your butt.
Which is another hole.
And it's where strangers who visit your house will inevitably also stick their butts. Excuse me. Thank you for inviting me to your home. Where might I find the hole upon which I may stick my butt? Where you do not keep the toilet seat covers.
I'm really enjoying this visit and this conversation. But I need to know where it is. Where's the hole?
Where's the butthole?
Where's the butthole? Where I shall place my butthole.
Where is your room in which I may drop trow?
I'm gonna say that next time. Someone's
home. Where is the room in which I can become half naked? Unless it is my preference to become full naked.
Oh my god. So, I didn't realize how many people I know. Like, undress to go poop.
It's so weird. Why do you guys do
what
that?
What are you doing? What? Why? You don't poop out of your top half. You don't need to
Tawny,
do that.
Let's use some more euphemisms. There may be children listening.
There's no children listening. But, like, seriously, why do you need to take off your shirt in order to go to the bathroom?
Maybe they don't want germs to get on their shirt?
Although, I know that this is all men that I have...
Hashtag not all men.
Like, everyone that I've heard that does this is a man. There may be women that do this, I don't know, but I think that because women are so used to having to sit on a toilet, that it's like, it would be absolutely ridiculous if we undressed every time. Mm-hmm. But for men, it's like, oh, you know, maybe once a day.
Taking off our bras. Yeah.
Like, once a day, they undress and they just soak in that time to take a dump. But...
Ew! Everything about that sentence was disgusting.
I know, but that's gotta be why, right? But like, what if they also like had to sit down to pee, or at least had to squat? You know, they wouldn't do that. It's only because that's their me time. I think. I don't think there's actually any real reason that they could give any logical reason.
I don't know, man. This question took a turn.
Unless, here's a logical reason. It's a lot of effort. They get sweaty, but they don't want their clothes to get sweaty.
Huh.
Where do they put their clothes? Do they just...
they fold them neatly?
Yeah. Or do you just throw them on the floor? What about when you're in a public restroom? Do you hang... What if there's no hook for you to hang your clothes on?
Tawny has a lot of questions.
I'm so curious. Podcast.
Another weird part of a house, not everybody has, but the fireplace. It's the place in your home that you set on fire on a regular basis.
And then people are like, why is my house burning to the ground?
Because you don't have a fireplace, Carl, for the millionth time. We told you, stop.
Stop building a fire pit in the middle of your living room.
It's like the fireplace that Tawny has. That's not actually a fireplace. Tawny has a fireplace, but it does not have a chimney.
No. It can maybe handle candles.
You absolutely may not set a fire in Tawny's fireplace.
Okay, so weirdest place of the house to me. I mean, some houses have more rooms or, like, more to them than ours do.
Oh, it's definitely the dumbwaiter. What a funny name. Oh, I know, it's the foyer. With the butler always standing there waiting to let people in to the foyer, and then they stand there all aghast at your magnificent staircase. Hilarious.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
I knew it.
But, I mean, I was kind of thinking along those lines. Of For real. We grew up in a house that had, what, like, a kitchen, a living room, a family room that was our bedroom, and one bedroom and one bathroom, and that was it. You know, we had a basement, we had an attic. Attics are weird to me, actually, because sometimes people actually utilize them and, you know, will make them look nice and whatever. But a lot of houses have attics, but it's just like this empty space.
Just a garbage zone of, like, heat and misery.
Yeah, and there's just, it's like the spider container of the house.
Uh-huh.
And it's where they all leak from.
Ew. Like
they get into the attic.
What's and this then you're bucket like, for? Oh, we got a leak.
Like, where?
Spider leak.
Everyone's like, oh, where did this spider even come from? It's the attic. They're always coming from the attic. Like, you go up in the attic, and it's just cobwebs. There's nothing else. It's just cobwebs and spiders.
Oh, you guys did blow-in insulation, huh? Nope. No insulation up there.
Yeah.
Oh, I will be leaving now.
Yeah, it's where all the Black Widows hide. It's not necessarily a strange part of the house, but it's certainly a gross, unpleasant part of the house that I do not like. And even when people make it look nicer, it usually tends to be hotter because heat rises, obviously. And so it's just not as comfortable as the rest of the house.
I'm just going to make another argument for the bathroom. Hi, I'm a guest in your home. Could you please direct me to the room in which you keep all of your prescription medication? It's not cleverly hidden behind a mirror. Oh, wait.
Some people keep their medication in the kitchen, Asia. Or in a pantry, because you're supposed to keep stuff like that in a dry environment, and keeping medication in the bathroom is actually a bad idea. The end.
Okay. Can you direct me to the room where you become fully naked to cleanse yourself? Can you direct me to the room in which you need a GFCI outlet because there's so much water in here all the time?
Asia's showing off her electrical knowledge.
Can you direct me to the room in which you need to have some grippy mats all over the floor because it's the room in which you're most likely to slip and die from breaking your neck?
Can you direct me to the room where it's okay for your children to, like, leave wet toys all over the place?
Can you direct me to the room in which you have your seashell soaps from 1997? Can you direct me to the room where you keep the towels that no one's allowed to use, even though that's the room where you would exclusively need towels?
Okay. All right. Okay. Asia.
Yes?
What matters most, food or clothing? Would you go naked in order to
eat the bathroom? Yes.
Eat scrumptious and exotic gourmet foods,
Or want fine, comfortable attire in a judgmental society.
All right, hold on. I'm going to need a minute to parse this question. What matters most, food or clothing? Would you go naked in order to eat scrumptious and exotic gourmet foods? Or fine slash comfortable attire in a judgmental society? I know I just said exactly what you just said. I just needed to read it to myself to understand.
Because, obviously, food is more important. But why not scrumptious and exotic gourmet foods? No, I would not go naked for that.
Listen, what I need to know is the judgmental society part of both parts of this question, or only the part where you wear fine, comfortable attire? So you wear fine, comfortable attire in a judgmental society, or naked, eating scrumptious and exotic gourmet foods in a non-judgmental society? Or are these both in a judgmental society? Oh,
maybe I'm just... I was not thinking about that.
Because if it's a non-judgmental society, of course I'm going to get my caviar on. You know what I mean? But... And also, I won't care because it's non-judgmental and I don't care if I'm fat.
No. I think that they are both... Now that I'm rereading this, I think they are both in a judgmental society. So, would you, in a judgmental society... rather, you know, go naked in order to eat the good food, or have fine and comfortable attire.
All right, I think I'm gonna have to say, oh man, oh it pains me to say this, probably I would go with fine, comfortable attire. Because I don't have to have scrumptious and exotic gourmet foods, but I would feel very uncomfortable if I had to be very nakedly on display because and everyone knows it's because I made the choice.
Yeah.
That I wanted to eat.
No, I totally, same. Like, I would rather just, like, do we not get any food if we have clothes?
We obviously would get some food. It just,
okay.
And we'd probably fit in our clothes better because we're so not eating.
This is just a very realistic question because...
It's how we are.
We do live in a judgmental society. We only have a certain amount of money, us in the middle to lower class, you know.
Tawny says middle, points to herself, points to me lower.
I was pointing to you the whole time.
I'm just kidding. She didn't do that, but in my head she did.
Okay, anyway. But, I mean, it's a very realistic question. We only have so much money. Are we going to spend it on fine and delicious food or fine and comfortable attire? So,
I do enjoy wearing clothing.
I try to divide it evenly, right? But I do...
You should definitely spend more on food than clothing, Tawny. I've gotta say.
Well, I think I do, but it's not because I am eating scrumptious and exotic gourmet foods. It's because my food that goes well in my stomach and does not make me ill is more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have, like... tons and tons of fine clothing either, but I don't know. I think that I would want to be clothed and not be naked. It's not worth the gourmet food. I'm perfectly fine having a pretty simple diet. In fact, I need a simple diet.
Right.
So.
I love delicious food.
Really?
I know, shut up.
I hate delicious food.
I really like to try lots of different kinds of food. Also, I get bored of food really fast. But I also really like, more than anything, to feel comfortable enough in my skin that I don't have to worry about my skin. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I just want to be able to wear some clothing and be out and people can see me in my clothing. And I'm not worried about that, so I can think and dedicate my thought processes to other things. And if I were constantly eating just whatever delicious, fattening foods I want and having to be naked, gosh, that just sounds like literally a nightmare that I would have. And I'll probably have tonight. Because I just, oh, it sounds so sweaty.
Yeah, I think we can agree that we both would prefer to be in comfortable,
as long as we're well nourished,
and just live on a simple diet of food.
Yeah, as long as we're alive and can also feel comfortable and think and be productive people.
Yep. Okay. I mean, but it also says like fine, comfortable. Does fine mean, like, expensive?
I mean, I hope so, because if I'm trading my expensive, delicious gourmet food, I want some nice, expensive clothes.
I don't know, I've never cared about
that. This, obviously,
I want good quality clothes, but I don't want it, like, oh, it's this brand.
I feel like we're not necessarily answering this question from a moral kind of standpoint. Like, what's definitely the objective best answer is just, like, how we would feel the most comfortable.
Yeah, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Okay. Those are our questions for this episode. Episode 10.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
10 months, Asia.
10 months of this nonsense?
We're only 2 more months. Wait, how is that possible?
We've almost done this for a year.
Did we really start?
This month is July. August, September.
Did we start last October?
I think so.
Wow.
Imagine if we were doing this weekly, then we would have had 40 episodes by now.
Oh, God. The people don't need that much of us.
Of course, we could afford to do that many episodes if we had more patrons. Oh, speaking of which, we would like to thank our patrons that we do have for your support. Tyler is still our biggest supporter. Thanks, Tyler. Or should we say somebody else. Also, thanks to Megan Ueno, a.k.a. Bagel, Brandon Wong, and Cassidy Oates. You can always join them in becoming a patron of the Mostly Rational podcast. We are currently in the market for a better microphone and recording setup, so your patronage would really help us out. Plus, becoming a monthly donor of $1 or more gets you access to bonus content, including blooper reels. And there are a few blooper reels. The blooper reel from this episode should be quite interesting. Right now, there is even an entire bonus episode up just for patrons. To become a patron and get access to all that and more, go to patreon.com/mostlyrational.
You can also support us by rating us on iTunes, Google, and Spotify, wherever you listen. And of course, the best and freest way to help us out is by sharing the podcast with your friends. If you'd like your questions answered on the next episode, email us at mostlyrationalpod@gmail.com or go to our website, mostlyrationalpodcast.com, and submit a question. That's right, you can do that now. There's a website.
Yay!
A real website. .com. We sprang for the .com. Nothing but the best for you people.
We sprang for the .com. I sprang for the .com. Anyway.
Johnny, come on. All right, you can also follow us on Twitter @mostlyrational and Instagram @mostlyrationalpod.
Tawny, it's the end of our podcast, and we have yet to introduce our guest host.
Well, our guest host is a little shy.
She's a little shy, yeah. But I'm gonna bring her out. Lee, are you? She's hiding behind a chair. Come on, Lee, you can get it. You can do it. Come over. Come on, Lee, say hello.
Say hello.
Get right up to the mic. Say hello.
Hi.
Hi, Lee.
Hi.
Tell us a little about yourself, Lee.
I'm Lee the Spud.
You're a spud?
Yeah.
Wow, Lee. What do you like to do?
I am Lee the Spud, and I am a loyal servant of the Princess Potato.
Whoa. Who's the Princess Potato?
Tawny's the Princess Potato.
Tawny? My sister Tawny?
I am her loyal spud.
Tawny is the Princess Potato? Well, okay, Lee the Spud. Well, that is so great to hear that you're such a loyal subject of my sister Tawny. I'm just going to tell the listeners how we found you.
Okay.
Yeah, we were out in the garden one day, and Tawny was, you know, she was adjusting her crown, and she was saying that she really wished she had somebody to, you know, not just to do her laundry and her dishes, but also to just be her constant companion and give her pedicures.
Yeah, my cats don't do the pedicure thing, and they're around, but they like...
She really just wanted to mentor somebody. And I kept saying, you know, I would really like some free food from the ground. And so, being me, don't worry, bear with me. Bear with me, Lee. It's okay, don't worry. Me being the INTP that I am, I thought, you know, I don't really want to do the whole gardening thing, but maybe if I just dig some random holes, then... something will happen. And so I just took our spade and I just shoved it right in the ground and there was nothing there. And then I did that about 63 more times and...
Wow, that's a lot!
It was a lot, I know. I had like a sweat drop and everything and right then I heard a little... Ah! You can probably do it better than me, Lee.
Well...
Go ahead, tell them what you said.
Something kind of jabbed towards me. And I was like... Ah!
There you go. That's the sound I heard. And I was like, rumble, rumble in my tumble. But then I reached out in the ground and I pulled out this scrumptious looking potato. And sorry, bear with me, Lee. I didn't know any better then. I pulled out this tuber and rubbed her right on my shirt just to get off some of the dirt, you know, as one does. And tell the people what you said, Lee.
I just said, hello. I'm Lee the Spud.
And it was when she said Lee the Spud that I realized, all right, this talking potato may be too intelligent to eat. And so...
So kind.
I wasn't quite sure, though, so we took her to the sink. And, poured some water on her, cleaned her up a bit, to see how cute she was. Fortunately for Lee, we decided she was pretty cute for a potato.
Oh, thanks.
And decided, not to eat her. because...
I feel bad for all the non-cute potatoes.
Well, listen, because the non-cute potatoes have never done what you did next, Lee. Tell us what you said when you saw Tawny.
Well, when I saw Tawny, I just knew that I had to serve her because she was the ultimate potato. Just the ultimate potato. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And so I said, Your Majesty. Your Majesty. I am Lee. I am loyal Spud from this day on. I shall always serve you.
And Tawny, what did you say back to Lee?
I said, alright, cool. That's exactly what I thought you said.
That's how I remember this exactly. Alright, so Tawny and Lee have come up with a very good relationship in the meantime. This was a couple weeks ago now, and Tawny's toes have never looked better. And
fantastic.
They've both, you know, sprouted here and there, but that just happens with age.
Yeah, I mean, potatoes. What are you gonna do?
Potatoes. What are you gonna do? She's got so many eyes everywhere. So, Lee, are you gonna join us on our next podcast? Do you think you're gonna stick around?
I don't know. Maybe if someone asks me a question.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, people could ask Lee a question.
People could ask Lee a question, I suppose. They could probably also, I don't know, ask us if we have any more insanely clever characters lying around. Or they could just hope desperately that we have a real guest host next time. Not to say that you're not real, Lee. You are real. You're real. You're a real potato. You're as real as potatoes come.
Thanks.
Real as talking potatoes come. All right, you ready to say goodbye, Lee? Say goodbye to the people?
Bye. Bye, mostly rational listeners. I hope you all become loyal spuds to Princess Potato.
Wow, what about me? What do you have any wishes for me, Asia?
I only care about the potatoes.
Okay, fine. I guess I'll have to wait around to find my loyal vegetable. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.